and began to confess immediately that that's who I am and what I have, that this is mine. Now, for instance, let's go back here to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, here is the confession that we are to make and that you need to make daily. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation being with the life of God, the nature of God, and the ability of God within me. You see, friends, a Christian is not made over. That is, he's not renovated like a mattress. He is a new creature. He is not just made over. He's a new creation. Something which never existed before. One translation reads, he's a new species. The Christian at new birth does not have a new physical body, though he will one day. It's the man on the inside who's a new creature or a new creation. It's the man on the inside who's a new creature or a new creation. The old man who used to be in there is gone. You see, the inward man is the real you. Now you look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. And the inward man, the real man, is a new creation. He takes on the very life and nature of God. Now hold fast to your confession that you are a new creature. Then the new man on the inside will be manifested on the outside through the flesh. Learn to let this new man on the inside dominate the outward man. God is looking at that new man in Christ when he looks at us. And we look much better in Christ than we do out of him. We can't see each other in Christ. We look at each other from the natural standpoint. But God looks at us in him. Then here's another verse that's very similar, and it has that expression in Christ in it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now here's the confession that I'm making, that you should make, that every Christian should make. I am his workmanship. He made me a new creation. We didn't make ourselves new creatures. He did it. We are his workmanship. And you had better be careful about how you talk about his workmanship. Be careful to say the same thing about his workmanship that he says about it in his word. Be careful not to slur or mock God by saying, oh, I'm so poor and weak and unworthy. I'll never amount to anything. He didn't make you that kind of new creature. He made you a worthy new creature. He made you a new creature who could stand in his presence as though you had never committed a sin. He made you a righteous new creature. Start telling who you actually are instead of who you think you are. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 reads, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, we should make this confession. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. My standing with God is secure. My prayers avail much. You remember James 5:16 said the fervent effects of prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Well, he made us righteous. It said here that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We fearlessly declare that God has made us righteous. We didn't do it. God did it. Righteousness means right standing with God. Jesus, who is righteous, became our righteousness. Therefore, we can stand in the presence of God as though we had never done wrong. We can stand in God's presence without a sense of condemnation or spiritual inferiority complex. Then again, here's another verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And this is one of those in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. This should be our confession. Because I am in Christ Jesus, right now, present tense, There is no sense of condemnation about me. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now here's the confession that we should make. Christ Jesus, my Lord, is my wisdom. He is my righteousness. He is my sanctification. He is my redemption. Then, Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Here is the confession that we should make. I have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I reign as a king in my domain in this life through Jesus Christ. You see, the Amplified Translation reads here, reign as kings in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Where are we going to reign as kings? It says right here, in life, in this life. How? By Jesus Christ. Paul used this illustration because they had kings in the day in which he lived. In those days, the king reigned over his particular domain. His word was the final authority. Whatever he said went. He reigned. And the word says that we shall reign. That means rule, dominate, reign in life by Christ Jesus, in whom we have our redemption. Here's an in whom scripture. And for instance, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now notice verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And Paul said just about the same thing to the Ephesians as he did to Colossians. Notice Ephesians 1, 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now notice the expression here, in whom we have redemption. How thankful we can be that we're not trying to get it. We already have it. We are now delivered from the authority of darkness, from the power of Satan. By virtue of the new birth, we have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. You notice it said, who hath? Now, the Amplified Translation, that's Colossians 1:13, begins, who hath? The Amplified Translation says, the Father hath delivered us. The Father hath taken us out from under the dominion and control of darkness. Now that means out from under the dominion and control of Satan, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Redeemed from what? Redeemed from the hand of the devil. Redeemed from the kingdom of darkness. We can overcome the devil no matter where we meet him or what the test. Satan's dominion ended, and Jesus' dominion began in our lives the moment we accepted Jesus as Lord and were born again. Galatians 3:13 tells us that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? Go back to the first five books of the Bible and see, especially the last half of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. In Christ, we are redeemed from the curse of the law, which is threefold, poverty, sickness, and the second death. And the blessings of Abraham are ours. Now you can see Galatians 3:14 in the first half of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. Satan's dominion over us as new creatures in Christ is ended. Jesus dominates us and is our Lord. Then in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now then, these scriptures do not have the expression in Christ, in Him, or in whom in them, but notice that they do infer something. Notice 1 Peter 2:24 said, by whose stripes? That is, by His stripes. And so this tells us something that's ours because we're in Him. Then Matthew 8:17 said, Himself took, Jesus took our infirmities. Now, on the basis of these scriptures, we can make this confession. And we're told to hold fast to our confession in Hebrews 4:14. Here's the confession that we should constantly make. By His stripes I was healed. God's Word tells me I was healed by His stripes. If I was healed then, I am healed. Healing belongs to me because I am in Christ. You see, Peter, looking back to the sacrifice at Calvary, said, by whose stripes you were healed, not going to be, but were. God remembers when He laid on Jesus not only the iniquities and the sins of us all, but also our sicknesses and diseases. Jesus remembers that He bore them for us. Therefore, the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write, by whose stripes you were healed. This belongs to us because we are in Christ. He provided it for us. Confess that Christ is your redemption. Confess that you are redeemed. Confess that Satan has no more dominion over you, and hold fast to that confession. You have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. Refuse to allow Satan's dominion over you. Don't accept sickness because it is of Satan also. Reject it. Then, here's our marvelous verse of Scripture. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now notice the expression there, in Christ Jesus. That's so good, let me read it again. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now here's the confession that every believer should be making constantly, daily. The law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Dr. John G. Lake was a missionary to Africa many years before the modern full gospel movement. The deadly bubonic plague broke out in this area. Hundreds died. He cared for the sick and buried the dead. Finally, the British sent a ship with supplies and a corps of doctors. The doctors sent for Lake to come aboard and asked him, what have you been using to protect yourself? Sirs, Lake replied, I believe the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death, and as long as I walk in the light of that law of life, no germ will attach itself to me. Don't you think you'd better use our preventative, the doctor urged? No, Lake said. But, doctor, I think you would like to experiment with me. If you will go over to one of these dead people and take the foam that comes out of their lungs after death, then put it under the microscope, you will see masses of living germs. You will find they are alive until a reasonable time after the man is dead. You can fill my hand with them, and I will keep it under the microscope, and instead of those germs remaining alive, they will die instantly. Now the doctors agreed to this experiment, and so they made the experiment, and it was true. When they expressed wonder at what had caused it, Lake told them, that is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Then here is another marvelous scripture, James 4:7. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now you is the understood subject of this sentence. You resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will run from you as if in terror. God has already done all He's going to do about it. He sent Jesus, and Jesus arose victorious over the devil. Jesus defeated him for you. And now it's your turn to do something about it. And you can because you are in Him. Oh, the devil's not so afraid of you as an individual. But when you find out what your rights and privileges are in Christ, when you find out the name of Jesus belongs to you, when he knows you have learned what that name will do, then he will run from you as in terror. The word flee there, resist the devil and he will flee, F-L-E-E, flee from you, means to run from as in terror. And then here's a marvelous text that every Christian should hold fast to and confess daily. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And we can make this confession: because I am in Christ, the greater one lives in me. He is greater than the devil, greater than disease, greater than circumstances, and he lives in me. Not only are we born of God and partakers of his love, but we have dwelling within us the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. You may be facing some problem which seems impossible. Instead of talking about how impossible it is, look to him who is inside you and say, God is in me now. Your confession of faith will cause him to work in your behalf. He will rise up in you and give you success. The master of creation is in you. Now, here's a text in Romans 8:37 that's a great favorite of mine. It does not have the expression in him, in whom, or in Christ, but it does have the expression through him. Now, Romans 8:37 reads, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, our confession should be, I am a conqueror. If God's word has just told us that we were conquerors, it would have been enough. But it tells us that we're more than conquerors through him. Rather than saying, I'm defeated, rise up and say what the Bible says about you. Say, I am a conqueror. It may not seem to you that you are a conqueror, but your confession of it, because of what you see in God's word, will create the reality of it in your life. You see, God's word will become real to you as you confess it. Sooner or later, you will become what you confess. You will not be afraid of any circumstances. You will not be afraid of any disease. You will not be afraid of any conditions. You will face life fearlessly, a conqueror. Now here's another marvelous verse, Philippians 4:13. It's very similar to Romans 8:37. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now then, here's the confession that we should make. Through Christ my Lord, I can do all things. He strengthens me. I cannot be conquered. I cannot be defeated. I can do all things through him. Flesh and natural human reasoning would limit us to our own ability. We look to the circumstances, the problems, the tests, and storms, and say that we can't. The language of doubt, the flesh, and the senses is, I can't. I haven't the ability, the opportunity, or the strength. I'm limited. But the language of faith says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The strength of God is ours. We do not trust in our own strength. The Bible says nothing about our being strong in ourselves. It says that God is our strength. Then Galatians 2:20 is another marvelous verse. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Now notice it doesn't have the expression in Christ or in whom or in him, but it does have the expression with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Here is the confession that we should make. I am crucified with Christ. I don't have to try to do it. I am crucified with Christ. Yet, nevertheless, I live, and Christ lives in me. Then Colossians chapter 1. Verse 26 and 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ lives in me. Then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and then verses 4, 5, and 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, that is, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now notice verse 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now here's the confession that every Christian should make based upon this word of God. I was crucified with Christ. When he was quickened and made alive, I was quickened with him. I was raised up together with him and made to sit together with him in heavenly places. Today, positionally, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Then Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now notice the expression, by Christ Jesus. Our confession is, all my needs are supplied. Let me give you one more verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. This is a marvelous verse, and it has that expression, in Christ, in it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice it doesn't say he's going to bless us with anything, but that he already has. This means that in Christ Jesus, from the time you're born again until you step out into eternity, he has already made provision for you, everything you need. He has blessed you with it. It's yours. In the mind of God, it's yours. Find his provision for his children in his word and make them become a reality in your life in Christ to the glory of God the Father. And the way you make them become a reality is by beginning to confess that this is mine, that I have it, and your faith confession will create the reality of it in your life. Now may God's richest and best be yours.